Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Ah, here. Want to take this quiz? Should you live with your lover?
No, thanks.
Bren?
Yeah?
Like having Dylan living with you in your house?
I said I didn't want to take the quiz.
Oh. You two are lovers.
Not.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 4, Anaconda. And now, here are your... hosts, Tara Ariano, John Ramos, and Sarah D. Button. What's so funny about Anaconda?
You paused for such a long time. That's all.
Also, it's a giant snake, yeah. Which is like a dick.
Yeah.
The brain of my phone. That's why.
It don't want none. Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, Tara. Hey, Sarah.
Joining us once again is John, special guest in New York with Sarah. This one is probably going to be speedy, so let's get down to it. Also, it sort of defies our usual B plot, A plot convention or format, because at a certain point, the B plot sort of crosses over and becomes the A plot, but we'll get to it. So let's start with the B story. Poker mania.
Oh, boy.
So Steve is organizing a poker game at the beach club. He wants Brandon to play both because he knows Brandon stinks and because he wants Brandon to let them into the game room at the beach club after hours. So that occurs. Steve is there with David, who's another chump, who also sucks, probably even worse than Brandon, and some other guy who's, I guess, a year ahead of them at West Beverly, and we know he's part of the crew because he's down with the lingo in clip number 2.
Brandon, don't be such a squeef.
Squeef is bad.
Squeef.
Oh, best. Oh, by the way, this is apparently Steve's cousin, and we never see him again.
Yeah, Steve shows up in like a dress shirt, a blue button down, long sleeve, tucked into white shorts. It's all very weird. Brandon is paranoid about the noise. David keeps making stupid poker faces, which, yes, I gift. And then we find out that there's actually more to this poker game than meets the eye, supposedly, and we hear about it from this cousin in clip number 3.
You guys should have been here 2-3 years ago.
Why?
Well, first of all, this wasn't just a poker game. This was the traditional Ross Wienerblatt all-night poker club and chamber music society.
Who the hell's Ross Wienerblatt?
Well, that's part of the mystery. Nobody knows.
But he had chamber music.
No, he didn't have chamber music. That was just the name of the game. Nobody really knows where it came from for sure. But it's been going on for 20 years or so. Once or twice. Every summer. And always at night.
Is it haunted?
Yeah.
The thing was, we dressed like high rollers. You know, like we were from Vegas. Because you got to show that you have respect for the game of poker. We'd have these big cigars and Frank Sinatra music playing.
Be sure to tell him Large Marge sent you.
Whole package. But the best thing about it was that we'd have these girls, these gorgeous chicks, that would just sit next to us for luck.
Sounds fun.
Wow. Cool.
Of course, the main thing was we'd play for real stakes, not this penny ante stuff. Well, guys, I got a book. But if you ever want to play for real change, give me a holler, huh?
There's a lot to
hate. No, thanks.
There's a lot to hate about that speech. One thing is, I don't think that any show now could get away with part of why this is cool being there were girls that would show up just to sit beside you and give you luck. Like, that wouldn't fly on The Vampire Diaries, for example.
Yeah. Also, we've all seen the executive game on The Sopranos, and you're no executive game on The Sopranos.
I also love the disdain for like the questions about the chamber music, because he admits like it makes no sense and he doesn't know the origin anyway.
Right.
But yeah, you're stupid.
Yeah. So the next day, Henry finds Brandon at work, tells him that it looks like someone broke into the game room. It's probably a member's kid because they left poker chips on the floor like sloppy. Brandon, you're supposed to be covering your traps, you idiot. And Brandon sort of tries to brush it off like, well, if this member's kids, what's the big deal? And Henry says, you know, it's a liability issue. Also, he doesn't say, but should. People aren't allowed to be here when it's closed. It's a big deal no matter who's doing it. So whatever. So he asks Brandon to narc if he hears anything. So Brandon goes and finds Steve and tells him that Henry's onto them. Steve wears him down to get him to agree to do this Ross Wienerblatt bullshit. So you can see it in the visual aids. There's a GIF that Brandon somehow convinced Donna and Brenda to come to this. Their outfits for what kind of high rollers they are all over the map. It's like everything from the 20s to the 40s in terms of like the vintage of their outfits. Like Donna looks like a flapper. Brenda looks like a Gabor sister.
Crystal Carrington happening.
Completely. So they roll into the game room like a bunch of assholes. We get to see the back of David's jacket, which is like sequined musical notes, like he's Jerry Lee Lewis or something. Oh, yeah, and the front. And we also have to see Shannon Doherty pretend she doesn't know how to smoke, which I'm pretty sure she probably did.
Yeah, Tori Spelling doesn't even bother. She's like, yep, old pro, blown smoke rings. How you doing?
Completely. Yet Brandon finds a way to complain even about this in clip number 4.
I thought you said there were going to be some babes here. No, don't get me wrong, Brenda, Donna, you're great babes, really great babes. But Brenda's my sister, and I already know Donna. I mean, I thought you meant, you know, some new babes, some fresh babes.
These are fresh babes.
That never gets explained why these people that they've just been going to school with
all year.
Do they
mean, like, fresh, like... She's fresh, like funky, cool in fresh. The gang. Exciting. She's so exciting to me.
I hope so, because we don't need Steve lining up to be to be one of the people trying to push Brandon and Brenda together.
I mean, we should be happy, at least in that speech, that Brandon did remember that Brenda is his sister. That's
he
the
did
first
remember
time.
That, yeah.
Before we get to the Dylan Ponce's Emmy A plot, wait, that was also The Sopranos. John, National Bridge Champion.
Yes.
Would you like to list your formal objections to the play?
Sure, I'd love to. I have a separate section in my
Sweet.
Notes for it.
Oh, good.
Well, early, yeah, it's funny, actually, because I thought I wasn't going to have any objections because they did a really good job of not showing any of the hands.
Yeah.
But still managed to do this. David in an earlier bet, and I won't give him too much shit about this because he obviously nobody's doing, but he's like, he holds up a stack of chips that's like, I'll raise you this. Like, can they count them in your hand? David, like, say a number, please. But most of them have to do actually with Dylan, who's supposed to be poker player extraordinaire.
Yes, thank you.
One of them occurs when he says, I'll call and raise you 50. That's not a thing.
No.
When you call, you call the opponent's cards. You're meeting the bet. That's it. You could see and raise someone 50. That is the appropriate lingo. Brenda gets all offended when I think Dylan won't show her his cards.
Yeah.
You don't do that in a serious game because you don't want to give someone information that they might give away. And it's just also just not the etiquette.
Right.
Then Dylan calls and asks, so what you got? When you call, you show first.
Right.
So, and this is not a poker objection, but a more general one, but there is a Bartles and James wine cooler on the table.
It's individual aids.
And that does not seem appropriate for this game.
All right. Well,
I would also add that Dylan's comparison of gambling to bungee jumping
is
ridiculous.
Oh my God.
So
we'll get there. So you're right. As you can imagine, the A plot is once again about Dylan and his problems. As we established in the previous episode, he has, now that his dad is in jail, I guess his whole source of support is gone. His only asset really is his car. He doesn't have any cash. So he's still living with the Walshes, and we get a little tough love from Jim in his office for a change in clip number 5.
Do you know what you have to do, Dylan? You get on a plane, you go to Hawaii, and you make peace with your mother once and for all.
I wish it were that simple. You don't understand my mother.
Yes, but I do understand a desperate situation when I see one.
All my life, She threw money at me and called it love. I didn't ask for love, but to ask for money.
But if you don't, you'll be asking for a lot worse.
She's gonna throw raisins at him?
Another bad music transition I thought we'd all enjoy.
Inappropriate. That was awesome.
Speaking of throwing things, too, I think the only reason they did this in Jim's office is so they could have Dylan be revealed by the slow turn of a swivel chair.
Yeah, it's really dumb. Like, we can obviously
and
tell it's going to be
in
him.
Keeping with a recent mini, I was hoping the swivel chair's rotation would actually reveal a poof-linging monkey.
Alas, no. Also, I'm not sure where Iris is getting her money. Like, I would think that she was getting alimony or something from Jack, too. But maybe she's a better saver. And maybe she gets paid something for her beach yoga lessons.
I just thought it was really
weird.
Once
we get into the trust
storyline
that he has, that's explained somewhat. I mean, not, you know.
He does have a trust, right? Because it is, I mean, I think it is possible to borrow against that.
Yeah.
But let's not even, whatever. It's not worth it.
Right. So Dylan comes home with some nice bread for Cindy, and then things get awkward immediately in clip number 6.
Yeah, I know it's a difficult time for you and your father.
Well, you guys are making it much easier.
Dylan.
Yeah.
Could you use some pocket money?
No. I mean, thank you, but I'm fine, really.
Of course you are.
Uncomfortable. I'm not sure why he is so quick to turn her down, because as we've established, like, I don't even know where he got the bread money. But anyway.
Also, why is he still there?
I guess because he lost the suite where he was living. He was living at the hotel or living in some house.
Okay.
It's not clear. I don't know. I assume it had something to do with Jack getting arrested. But anyway. Donna shows up. She's going to a movie with Brenda. She sort of hints around about how she wants to maybe get something going with Dylan now that he and Brenda are broken up. She tries to get Brenda to ask him to come with them, which we hear in clip number 7.
Do you want to go to the movies?
No, thanks. I'll just stay here.
Oh, come on. It's our treat.
Dylan McKay, Charity Kane.
What?
Nice.
Nothing. I just, I'd rather... You know, hang around here, maybe do some reading.
What's going on with him? You know what, Donna? I don't know, and I don't want to think about it.
So he seems to be a poorer house guest than the cordial ending of the last episode would indicate. And when Brandon comes home from work, we get a little glimpse of his experience with Dylan when he goes into the shower and Dylan's used all the shampoo and put the empty bottle back, which, in Brandon's defense, for the first time ever, is super annoying. That is a really dick move. So come on.
Well, Dylan. But they each have so much pomade in their hair at all times that it's got to take each of them half a bottle of shampoo per shower. There's some really weird, like, showering shit happening.
Yeah.
Speaking of washing things too, just I'm sorry I skipped over this before, but I was going to do a gif of this, but I just didn't bother. But did you notice when he comes into the kitchen to talk to Cindy, he like washes his hands in the kitchen sink and then like spends 5 minutes drying them off with the dirty dish towel and then does like kind of a hotel fold with it.
Yeah.
It's such a weird piece of business. I was almost hypnotized by it. It was so bizarre. But
yeah.
Anyway.
It is smoggy in LA. You know, he could have gotten grit on his hands driving in his convertible.
I guess.
Anyway, so we catch up with Dylan later. He's got a bunch of shit to pawn. Of course, he has an electric guitar that we never see him play. Because of course he does. Nothing that he has is worth anything. The woman there offers him $275 for the whole shebang. He takes it. And there's also a silver framed photo of what she thinks is his girlfriend, and she offers to take the picture out, but it turns out that's his mom, which we don't really see the picture very clearly, so I guess they hadn't cast Stephanie Beecham.
She looks real nice.
Yeah.
Without his guitar, how's he gonna play? How's he gonna play when he tells people he's mad, bad, and dangerous?
I'll have a recorder in his pocket. So Dylan sadly watches his prized guitar and then a question mark go into the window of the pawn shop. Meanwhile, there's a tiny sidebar. It's not even a story where Brenda and Donna are on the beach. We heard a little bit of it in the intro clip where she has specific tanning instructions of like how long they're supposed to be
stupid.
On whatever side, whatever. She gets a terrible sunburn. And when she comes home, Dylan comments on how it looks like she got a little sun. She's bitchy to him. Like, what is he supposed to say? You look like a lobster, literally. So Brenda tells Donna she's sick of Dylan's shit, but she also feels helpless because she doesn't know how to help him, blah, blah, blah. Oh, sorry. I skipped right over the clip that Sarah mentioned. So Brandon comes home from his poker game and they talk a little bit about cards in clip number 8.
So what'd you do tonight?
I was playing cards down at the club. Should have been there, man. It was a good time.
You guys play for big money?
Well, the stakes weren't really.
Oh, man, there's no thrill if you don't stand to lose all your money. Gambling's like bungee jumping. You jump and you're pretty sure you're going to bounce back, but would anybody really do it if there wasn't that tiniest little possibility that the cord will snap?
What, do you have a death wish?
No way, man. You won't catch me jumping off any bridges.
You just like a little excitement in your games, right?
Yes, I do. Which is why I don't gamble. It's just another physical addiction. A real gambler, he isn't in it to win or even to lose. It's when the cards are being dealt or the dice is rolling or the roulette wheel is spinning. That's when your body releases a chemical that's more powerful than booze. Adrenaline. What a tremendous rush.
So are you a real gambler?
I don't know. But with my past, why risk it?
So wait, all of that was just theoretical? You don't even gamble?
That was the word salad-iest speech on
I mean, he's
anything.
At home pointedly reading 100 Years of Solitude.
He
like,
sure is.
Okay. Second of all, gambling is nothing like fucking bungee jumping. The chances that you'll splatter at the 3-card poker table in Atlantic City are, as John can attest personally, having watched me spend hundreds of dollars in 10 minutes, actually really good. The chances you're going to croak during bungee jumping, terrible. That's Jesus why people Christ. Do it, because you can't be killed.
Yeah.
Shut up, Dylan.
Yeah.
There it is. That feeling of loathing him has returned. Much better.
Brenda is almost as sick of Dylan's shit as Sarah is, and we hear that in clip number 9.
I guess deep down inside, I still love him. And it hurts not to be able to help him. It's like Dylan's father isn't the only one that's in jail.
I don't get it.
Brilliant. So Dylan comes home from his pawn shop adventure, sees Jim on the couch reading the news, tries to relate to him about the newspaper, and Jim changes the subject immediately, and we get another lovely time capsule in clip number 10.
Did you get in touch with your mother yet?
I will.
Just if you want to use the phone, go ahead. Just dial direct.
Just dial direct. Now, imagine...
Hey, wait, bro.
A teenager hearing that and be like, what does that mean? Why would he need to ask to use the phone? Like, does a teenager even know what call and collect is? I feel like they don't. And I don't think
they even know what calling is. Do they do that now?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, when my nieces were here at Christmas, we were outside a restaurant and Liv saw a payphone and actually asked, what is that? Well, admittedly, at the time she was 6, but still, like, that's not something you would have any context for. Anyway, just dial direct. Adorable.
I thought Jim was saying it instead of, like, having to call the operator and ask for, like, Gramercy 4.
Seriously. Bring R2468.
This is the 90s. We all know you're supposed to dial it down the middle.
Yeah. But I think Jim is trying to be generous. Say he doesn't have to call collect.
Yes, yes.
Jim will even foot the bill for Dylan calling all the way to Hawaii.
Dylan McKay, charity case.
Exactly. So what happens then is this is where the storylines intersect. Dylan shows up at this poker game, and they have a big showdown with David. David, like, basically backs by accident into 4 of a kind, so he wins a $400 pot, which is all of Dylan's money. Dylan leaves to go and take a sauna in the middle of the night. Something about it is so unseemly. But after this confrontation, no one wants to play after that, and everyone leaves. Next day, Brandon shows up and finds out the game room has been robbed. And we hear a little bit about why this is a big deal to Henry, aside from the obvious, in clip 11.
It's an inside job, Henry. Should make it a little easier to figure out.
Not gonna make it easier on me.
What do you mean? Cuts down on the suspects.
I just wish it was somebody from the outside.
Why?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, it's not like they're gonna blame you.
Sooner or later, they're gonna find out that I've got an old police record.
You do?
Yeah, I was a little older than you. And out cruising with my buddies. Anyway, I fell asleep in the backseat of the car, and my friends get this brilliant idea to rip off a house in Culver City. To make a long story short, I wake up and I'm being charged with breaking and entering, same as the others.
That's not fair.
It doesn't matter. That is gonna come up again. I just wanted you to hear it from me first.
Mr. Thomas, would you come with me? We'd like to have a word with you privately.
Sure.
So that's Henry's backstory. Brandon is... Go ahead.
Just very quickly, that's complete horseshit.
That story is ridiculous.
If he still had a record of any kind, he never would have been hired to run Shishi Beach Club. I'm not going to rant about it too long, but yeah, no.
But the details of the story make no sense either to me, but...
I wondered if it was going to, if we're supposed to, I don't know why I'm fan wanking this stupid show, but if we're supposed to think that it was a juvenile record and that's why it might not have come up when he was like applying for the job, but they don't say that. Maybe. So yeah. I'm probably giving them too much credit.
And now the important thing is it activates the Bray mechanism.
Oh boy, does it ever. So Brandon is standing there wondering how he's supposed to feel about this injustice of Henry's past when up rolls Steve in clip number 12.
Dumb.
Love.
Smiling about laughing, boy.
Oh, this is weird.
Weird?
Do you have any idea what you did?
Hey, I had nothing to do with this robbery. This is funny.
I'm not even talking about this. Man, you got me to lie to Henry.
Oh, come on. It was a little white lie.
Well, maybe it is to you, but not to me and not to Henry.
I gotta go straighten this thing out.
Hey, Brandon, you'll get fired.
You don't care about my job, man, and you don't care about Henry. All you care about is Steve Sanders.
I mean, someone has to. It might as well be Steve. No one else is.
It's not like this is a new development.
No. And I also feel like this whole episode should have hinged more on, like, and that's why you don't bow to peer pressure, because that's really why all of these issues start, is that Brandon knows he's not supposed to be letting people in after hours, but he lets Steve talk him into it. So, like, that's on you, Brandon. You're the one who has a job.
Yeah. And the turning point is Brandon. Oh, babes. Yeah, okay, let's do it. I mean, he's so self-righteous and sure of himself.
Yep.
He'll never be the cooler head in any discussion. It's just all Bray all the time.
Totally.
And, you know, on a scale of, on the ethics scale of 1 to 10, he's about a 3, mm-hmm. looking down at Steve, who's a 2, and feeling super good about himself. I mean, his track record is that he should have been fired twice already from this job that he shouldn't have gotten in the first place because of his fucking notice that he gave to Ned.
Exactly.
Yep.
Thank you. Why does Henry keep forgiving him? Why? Mm.
It's a real mystery. Speaking of the mystery, that's what the detective has to solve. So Brandon goes over to her and says he knows more than he said. She does this hilarious take, which John Gift, you can see in the visual aids.
Weird. It's like this smug, like, well, get a load of that. Like almost elbowing Henry in the ribs, like, ha ha.
I know, and then I thought she was going to break out in a song.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, mistaken identity. That's the case that we've got today.
Yeah. So then we get a montage of everybody who was at the party getting interviewed by cops, blah, blah. It's supposed to be funny. It's not. Detective ends with questions for Brandon about Dylan, since he is not in this montage, and plants the seeds of him being the robber. So later, Dylan comes home. He's evasive about where he was. Brandon says the club got robbed. He doesn't seem surprised at all or like he cares. So while he's in the shower, Brandon disgustedly rifles through his stuff and finds a plane ticket to Hawaii. So Brandon comes in at this point. Brenda does. Brandon is suspicious about where he got the money for this ticket. All of a sudden, Brenda defends him. And then the detective shows up and says she saw a bunch of electronics in the back of Dylan's car with a blanket over them. Like, maybe whatever. I don't even know where to begin with that. Like, don't leave them in the driveway. I know it's Beverly Hills, but it's a convertible.
Yeah, duh.
So at the cop shop, Jim sticks up for Dylan to a detective.
All right, wait, just before we begin.
Please.
Dylan is in the shower.
Yeah.
When Brandon is going through his stuff. Just remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Because then he goes down to the cop shop
Yeah.
He comes back from the cop shop, and then he takes another shower.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He takes like 15 showers. And
he there's just one, can't
there's
get
one moment
clean.
When he's literally in the bathroom door, and he asks, is the shower free? I mean, I guess he could have been asking Brandon if he was about to use the shower, but again, like, use English words that make sense.
Right. In the middle of that, too, because all of the Walshes are at the police station with Dylan waiting for him, the detective walks by and says something rude about Jack, and Jim sticks up for him, and the detective is like, whatever, dude, and Sarah gifted. It's amazing. And then Cindy's like, how about your
Jim
father?
Jim's always the one who's like father, like son. And then he's like, mm-hmm. What's that supposed to mean when the detective says exactly that? Like, really, Jim?
Yeah. So anyway, they finally get home. And Dylan is, as Sarah said, in the shower again. And Brandon has had enough and needs to confront him in clip 13.
You done yet?
What?
I said, are you done yet? There's a water shortage, you know?
Yeah, just give me a second.
Oh, don't use all my shampoo either.
Oh, forgot you already did that.
What the hell is your problem?
And don't say shampoo.
Oh, no, the shampoo is just for starters.
Look, Brandon,
you guys have been real nice about helping me out and everything, and I don't want to seem, you know, ungrateful, but I gotta know, what is wrong with you? What did I do?
Well, it's between you and the police, isn't it?
Wait a minute.
No, don't worry, I'll never tell.
Tell what?
Oh, I don't know, about the pawn tickets I found in my trash can.
See, would have been real smart, you wouldn't have hid them there. I could have told the police about that and really put you behind bars.
Behind bars for what? Hawking my own stuff?
Yeah, right, I know what you have, Dylan. It's strewn all over my room.
Oh, Brandon, listen to me for a minute, will you? That was my stuff. I just wasn't keeping it here.
Do you know what it's like, man, to go to your family's storage locker day after day and just pick up one more thing that you can sell off to stay afloat? I mean, one day it's my skis, next day my guitar, and then the watch that my grandfather gave me. It's like selling off your life, piece by piece. Everything you remember is gone. Why do you think that stuff was in my car?
What about your ticket to Hawaii?
I'm finally gonna see my mother.
Your mother, the flake who you don't even want to talk to?
Dick.
And how could you afford a ticket after you lost big in poker?
I called her, spoke with her, and she paid for it. I picked it up at the airport.
Why didn't you tell me?
I couldn't.
You couldn't?
I'm not the kind of guy that runs home to mom.
You couldn't tell me because I'm so understanding and slow to rush to judgment?
I am, however, the kind of guy that walks out of the shower wearing what appear to be a pair of Depends.
See them individual aids, folks. Yeah, Brandon is such a bad friend. He's terrible.
He's
like, if you saw those pawn tickets, why wouldn't you ask him about it instead of just assuming the worst?
Why were you digging through the trash anyway, dude? Ugh.
Yes. And not only assuming the worst, but then like holding on to it and waiting to hold it against Dylan, like at a later time in a fight that starts out being about shampoo. Like, you're such a dick. Worst.
He does for him later make a relatively sincere, very uncharacteristic apology.
He does.
But the one thing I like about this scene is after Brandon brays about the shampoo again, Dylan does this little motion like he's gonna, like, why I oughta. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And like controls himself, and it's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, so we have make a stop the next day at the beach club where Brenda has acquired a hat. That's the end of her suntan storyline, or sunburn rather. Brandon checks in with Henry, who somehow doesn't fire him, and tells him that the actual robbers were the laundry service. Dun dun. And then Dylan, we're back at the Walsh house. Dylan stops in Brenda's room wearing a gigantic shirt. Please see it in the visual aids. It is billowing. Like, you can see where his arm is in it, and it's like the shirt is minimum three sizes too big, and that's no exaggeration. And it's all like cuffed at the sleeves too, so they're all blousy. It's really...
Oh yeah, it's bad.
It's so bad.
It's a David shirt.
That's a perfect way of describing it. It's absolutely
a David shirt.
But he's all dressed up for the red eye, and they have a friendly goodbye, which is nice because she was, as we mentioned, a bitch to him the whole episode. And then he goes in to get his suitcase, and we get our final clip of the episode.
You want to check my luggage, see if there's any of your stuff in there?
And then they, like, got each other a parting gift, which was a bottle of shampoo. And I have to say, despite wearing the shirt that ate Pittsburgh and environs, Luke Perry's actually pretty cute in the sequence.
He is, yes.
Not made of stone.
Yep.
He tied a little bow around it. I mean,
he did. It was a really nice grosgrain ribbon, too.
Yep.
Fucking remember, kill me. I can't believe I noticed that.
Remember when you could put a full bottle of shampoo in your carry-on, kids? To ask your parents. Yeah. Anyway, that's the last we see of Dylan before he goes to Hawaii, and they never saw him again. Just kidding. He comes back. But that's it. Any final thoughts before we close it up?
Well, since it's a short episode, I just had a couple things from what I call the Z plot, because okay. They don't really fit anywhere, and they're really, okay. really stupid.
Yes.
But you referenced it, I think, in the last episode, but Donna getting, like, semi-horned for Dylan is really weird.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it's because of the nuzzle he gave her in the opening credits.
I thought that was being set up as her... I think something got left on the editing room floor with that, because I felt like she mentioned a double date, and she's trying to, like, sideways everyone into accepting that she's going to be going out with David, but
right.
this might have aired out of order or something. Mm. I didn't get a trying to fall on Dylan's dick vibe from that.
That might make sense, yeah.
Perhaps.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is that with Brenda's sunburn plot, Cindy references an old family remedy. Like, is that from all those times her ancestors got burned in the hot sun of Tatooine-esque Minnesota?
I mean,
you can't
these
get
are
sunburned
also people
in
that
snow.
In previous episodes were wearing turtleneck sweaters.
Yeah,
it's July.
Mm-hmm. You're right. So that's it. Let's close it up by naming the episode's most valuable player. John, who would you choose?
Well, at the risk of repeating myself, I'm going to pick Kelly, because by her absence, she shows how this show is even more boring and ridiculous when she's not on.
Sarah?
This is a tough one, but it's got to be the cousin we never see again for resuscitating the term squeeze. Tara.
I'm going to give it to both senior Walshes, because they seem to be the only ones that have any concern or concept of what Dylan's finances already are and what a precarious situation he's actually in. And Cindy offering him mad money is so cute. It makes me want to cry. Least valuable player. John.
I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Sun for perpetrating the most go-nowhere Z-plot ever on the show, which is saying a lot.
Sarah.
Brandon.
Yeah,
there
Brandon.
That's better.
That feels right. Yeah, Brandon
sure
is, he's, as we just finished saying two clips ago, such a fucking dick to the person who's supposedly his best friend.
He's so bad. I feel like it's like picking him is like almost like picking the rapist in that episode that we did last time.
Alright, and finally the Kim challenge.
Mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
One of us has to play that on like the triangle or something, so now the guitar has been hocked.
Right. Alright, five reasons from this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. John?
He might fake steal some things, leaving you guilty of fake stealing by association.
He might use the wrong kind of rocks in the sauna, and you might inhale some bad fumes when you're taking your middle-of-the-night sauna at the beach club you broke into.
He uses all your shampoo and then apparently has urinary problems because he's wearing Depends in the shower.
He might take so many showers that it pushes California's water shortage past the point of no return.
He might go to Hawaii and go ziplining and almost die when the people at the other end of the zip line don't stop him and he runs right into a pole.
Let's not get started on the things that could happen to him in Hawaii. It's been a rough year for some people.
Yeah, don't
get
our hopes up, Dave.
Yeah, that's five. Sarah, did you have more?
No, I sure didn't.
I have one more. He might corner the pawn shop inventory, thus making it impossible for you to sell anything in hard times.
All right.
And on that note, that's another episode of Again With This. Next time, Kelly's mom and David's dad start going out, Dylan inflicts himself on the Aloha State, and Brandon saves an abused child's life or some damn thing because Brandon. You can read all about it and see the visual aids at previously.tv. You can follow us at previouslyTV on Twitter. Our guest John Ramos is at Couch Baron. Our fine engineer is at Glark. That's Dave Cole. Tara Ariano is at Tara Ariano. And I'm at Tomato Nation. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
Oh, it's officially official.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Behind every BP fill-up, thousands of people across America go to work every day. People producing energy offshore. People turning it into products at our refineries. People doing R&D to make products that are better for your engine. People trading and shipping fuels to their destinations. And the people who help you at one of BP's growing family of retail stations. They're part of almost 300,000 jobs BP supports across the country. Learn more at bp.com/investing in America.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.